Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why don't you put your hands together and just magnify Him? Hallelujah, Savior. Glory, glory, glory to God. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated this morning. Praise God. Take you back into the Old Testament in the book of Exodus, chapter number 2. We are going to relatively quickly go through some of the past that is there and something that is familiar with us, but let me bring out a point unto us today. We find that the children of Israel are in bondage in the land of Egypt, and it's not the way that it was they had intended or envisioned it to be. And let me just stop and interject this here today, that it really matters where you pitch your camp. And we could learn of this through Lot, but we can also learn of this with the children of Israel, and that they were not overcome by the Egyptians. There were no battles. There was not a war that enslaved the Israelites by the Egyptians. They were there, and they were living there in the land of Goshen. And the Bible teaches us that there arose a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph, and he had made a declaration and said that if we don't do something with these Israelites, they are going to become more and mightier than us. And so they just assumed a role over the Israelites and would soon enslave them and began to tell them what they were going to do and how they were going to do it, how much they were going to do on a daily basis. And so it was kind of like slavery almost by osmosis. It just morphed. It just happened. You got to be careful where you dwell. You got to be careful where you hang out. You got to be careful how you live. Amen. That's why it's very important that you serve God with all of your might so that you can be conscious and be aware of what is going on, that you would be able to move and resist the devil. Amen. But the Bible teaches us that in verse number 23, I'm going to read a couple of scriptures here, chapter number 2. It came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up to God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groanings, and God remembered the covenant, or his covenant, with Abraham and Isaac and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. And so we know that that there was a man by the name of Moses. At this point in time, he is on the backside of a desert, tending his father-in-law's sheep. And he is back there, and the Lord chooses to speak to him through a burning bush and begins to tell Moses that he is going to use him to bring his children or his people out of the land of bondage. He told them in chapter number 3 and verse number 9, "Therefore, behold, the cry of the children is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them." And so he tells Moses, "I'm going to send you to go." Verse number 13, Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come to the children of Israel, and say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them?" And the Lord answers back unto Moses, and he tells him, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." And so that is going to be the words, the mandate, the criteria, the message that Moses is going to bring unto the children of Israel. When the children of Israel would look at Moses and say, "Who is it that sent you?" And then he would have an answer for them. "The I am hath sent me unto you." This is intriguing because in the same book, in chapter number 6, we would see that after that Moses has approached them, that the Lord would speak unto Moses and began to tell him that he was going to deliver the Israelites from the land of Egypt with a strong hand. And then in verse number 3, he said, I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And so this is the first time that we really have a name that we can put upon God. Here he said that by my name, he said by the name of God Almighty, I have appeared unto them, but yet they have not known my name. And so he gives us this Jehovah. And we are introduced, and not going to take the time to get into it, but we are introduced into what would become the Jehovistic compounds, and that we would use Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Elohim, and the rest of them, and to begin to tie the attributes of God, or to tie the name of God with his attributes. He is, or God is, my provider. He is my banner. He is my healer. And so what we have is a revelation, an enlightenment, an understanding of who that God is coming to the children of Israel. When they began to cry out unto God for a deliverer, I want you to take note of how that they said it, and they cried out to God. They did not have a name. They did not necessarily have an attribute to tie with that, but they just knew him as God Almighty. And so they cried out to him as God Almighty, and saying, God, would you send us a deliverer? Amen. And that's just about as personal as it got with them, in that they did not know who that they were really requesting. They knew that there was a God. They knew that he was the God. They knew they were not any triune believing people. And so they were oneness. They believed in the one God of Jacob, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They believed that, but they could not put a finger upon who he was. We understand, as the Bible teaches us in the book of John chapter number 4, that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so when God came to them via Moses, and they asked Moses, they said, but who was it that sent you? And he did not tell them, God Almighty hath sent me, but he gave them something else. He said, the I am that I am has sent me unto you. And so they began to understand this. And soon another name, or the name, is going to be presented unto them. Jehovah would be given unto them. And then you would find this through the scriptures as you began to study the books of the scriptures there. You will see that the revelation of who that God is becomes more prevalent, becomes more known, as God introduces himself as the mighty God, as the everlasting Father, as the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, the Counselor, the Wonderful. He begins to give them a more in-depth, a more intimate relation. He begins to open himself up unto them so that they not only can see him, but so that they can understand him. They are beginning to understand that we do not just have a God, and he is not just the God, and his being cannot be put in some type of small parenthesis, but they began to understand that great was their God, and that when they needed a deliverer, they knew that he was able to deliver them. When they needed provisions, they knew that he was able to provide for them. everything that they needed, Jehovah was able to do for them. I did not say everything that they wanted, amen, but everything that they needed, God Almighty introduced himself in a more intimate way unto them. And so through the process of time, the children of Israel, if I can say this very, very carefully, they basically became a welfare mentality people, in that they were murmurers, they were complainers, amen, they were they complained about everything, and just got out of the land of Egypt for not so very long and began to say, what have you brought us out into this land so that you could kill us? Would to God that we had died back in Egypt, where at least we could have bread to eat. And when they had the manna that was given unto them, amen, they began to complain about water. And when they had water, they began to complain about flesh. And when they had flesh, they complained about something else. Amen. And when they had that, they began to complain about, amen, not having a God like everybody else had. And Moses is upon the mountain, and two golden calves all of a sudden pop out of the fire somewhere, and they have their gods. And they go chasing after false gods and strange gods, and God calls them back to repentance and brings them back unto him. And before long, they're after it again, and they're slaves unto the Philistines and slaves unto all the other people and the nations throughout the Bible. They experienced victories when they served God. They experienced defeats when they became idolatrous. Amen. But every time there was a God, that when they cried out to him, not only did he hear them, but the Bible teaches us that he answered them. As a matter of fact, this book that we call the Bible, amen, expounds on it in a great way. We could begin to understand the overlapping of the books together, amen, and that there were the kings, but at the same time, there were the prophets, and there were prophets that would stand and raise their voice and preach unto the children of Israel, would warn the kings and draw the people back unto God Almighty. Amen. There were times when the need was major and necessary, and we had Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and Isaiah, but at other times there was a minor need, and so we have what they call the minor prophets, and they spoke unto them. Amen. We have even minor prophets that preached unto the Gentiles. Amen. Through Jonah. But nevertheless, God revealed himself and showed himself. But the children of Israel began to relax, and this name that they were given became more familiar to them, and they began to take it for granted. And God would give. Hey, you say, well, how do you know they took it for granted? Because they forgot him, and they began to look to Babylon. They began to look back to Egypt, and they began to see, amen, what everybody else had, and they began to forget what they did have. They began to wish, amen, of whom they might have, and they forgot whom they did have. Amen. And we find that they were soon embondaged by the Babylonians. And so we have the three Hebrew children, and we have Daniel in the lion's den. We have Jeremiah weeping the prophecies. We have Ezekiel with the visions. Amen. We have other things that are going on in this time. And Jerusalem is going to be burnt to the ground. Nebuchadnezzar would appoint Jehoiakim to be a vassal king. And so Jehoiakim walked walks away and creates an alliance with Egypt, and soon he is killed. In his place, his son Jehoiakim raises up, and then he does pretty much the same thing and is captured. And then there's a man by the name of Zedekiah that pretty much does the exact same thing. All the while, there is a prophet that is telling them, look, you don't need to do this. He is weeping out his prophecies on deaf ears and telling them to come back, to turn again unto the Lord. Amen. To God Almighty. But Nebuchadnezzar comes and he takes all of those that are able to war and takes them back to Babylon and puts them there in slavery. And we know about the handwriting that is upon the wall. And we know of how Daniel interprets that handwriting. And we know that the Medes and the Persians come in and they overtake Babylon. And we know that King Darius is sent there by Cyrus and appointed to be the king. And in this, Darius allows and issues and orders a decree that the Jews are able to go back to their homeland. And so they go back to the homeland and they begin to build a temple. And we see that that is put to a stop. And so they begin to build their houses. And that's pretty much where we're going to stop with the history lesson. But there's one thing else that I want to put in here. That when they came out of Babylon, they began to talk amongst themselves. And they began to think and began to declare that could it be that because of our easiness with the name of God, that God gave us over to the Babylonians. They felt that their familiarness with the name of God had basically become a curse to them, that they had used the name of God in vain. And so in history, in Jewish history, it teaches us, and this is very interesting because I was preaching this message several years ago and was talking. A young man approached me after the service, and he is not a full-blooded Jew, but he was raised and sent to Jewish schooling. And he can tell, he wound up telling me a whole lot about their customs and what they still do to this day. And he confirmed a lot of what I had preached, and he given me more to this. But in Jewish history, at this particular time of coming out of Babylon, that they would make a decree or a law, and they would establish it. And this is some 400 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. They established that no common man was to utter the name of God across their lips. No common man. And so 50 years later, they thought that they were doing such a great deed and a great service that they tightened it up just a little bit. And they made an addendum, a revision unto their law. And in 350 BC, they made this addendum and said that not only would no common man utter the name of God across his lips, but that no priest would be able to speak the name in their hearing or in their duties. And the only one that was allowed to speak the name of God was the high priest. But when the high priest died in the year of 270 BC, they tightened up the law because they felt that they were finding the favor of God in reverencing the name of God. And they decreed or declared that no man was to ever utter the name of God across their lips. Not the high priest, no priest, and no common man. 400 years of not mentioning the name of God. 400 years of nobody speaking the name of God. They put in and interjected this in their scripture when the priest would stand up and began to read the scripture in their hearing. When he would come to the name of God, he would put in a different word in there, and he would tell them it was Adonai. And so when he would come to that word or to whatever name of God was scripture, he would pause and he would say Adonai. And when he would say Adonai, then the rest of the people hearing this, knowing what it stood for, would say Hashem, which just simply means the name. And so they would give reverence to the name, but they would not speak the name. Throughout all of history, they would continue reading their scripture. But as the priest stood up and he read, and when he saw that name, he would stop and change it and say Adonai. And the people would snap to attention, knowing he's been changed right there. And they would say Hashem, reverencing the name. I just find it unique. I find it interesting. I do not find it that it is just a coincidence. But I am reminded that sometime before the birth of Christ, as a matter of fact, if I study it correctly, know it and understand it correctly, my understanding tells me that 400 years before the birth of Christ is known as the silent years. The silent years. In that there was no prophet to stand up and to preach. There was no man of God. There was no seer. There was no preacher that stood up and declared the voice of God. Thus saith the Lord, hear ye the word of God. I find it ironic or unique in that when the people declared that they were not going to speak the name of God, God declared, then I'm not going to speak to you. Many generations and years ago, you didn't know who I was. And you cried out to me in your ignorance, seeking after me, trying to find me, trying to find out exactly who I was. And by great revelation, I began to reveal unto you. And I began to draw you nearer and began to draw you closer unto me. And you came closer to me and you followed me. And I provided for you and we had a relationship with each other. And I gave you manna every morning for the day. I brought in the quails of the evening. I gave you water out of a rock. I delivered you. I rolled back the Jordan River so that you could walk into a land flowing with milk and honey. I gave you lands that you didn't have. I let you eat of vineyards that you didn't plant. I caused you to live in houses that you didn't build. I caused you to partake of lands that you had nothing to do with, amen, in making them. I brought you out of bondage. I did so much for you, and this is the thanks that I get, that you want to act like I don't even exist. Amen. And much more than that, you want to act like, amen, that not maybe that you don't know who I am, but that you refuse to recognize who that I am. I want you to know that my name is more than just something that is sacred. It is sacred, and it needs to be reverenced. But I gave it to you because I want you to use it. Because there is power that is invested into that name. And so let's just make a deal here now. If you refuse to use my name, then I refuse to speak to you.
If you refuse to cry out unto me, I refuse to come unto you. If you refuse, amen, to worship me, and you just want to worship a reflection of me, then I refuse, amen, to come down and to speak and to reveal myself unto you. If you want to be quiet to me, then I'm going to be quiet to you for a few more years. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. But when the fullness of time was come, we would see that Mary was with child, and an angel of the Lord came unto her. Amen. And God was basically saying, enough is enough. I'm going to give them one more chance. But there is a plan, amen, from the foundation of the world that's got to happen. And so he said unto Mary, he said, thou shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Hallelujah. And he went a little bit further in the interpretation of that when he began to speak there in verse number 23. Amen. As he said, and this is the fulfillment of the prophet, that he would say that his name shall be called Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. That word Jesus, we know, is a Jehovistic compound. It's just the Greek version of it. But it simply means that Jehovah has become my salvation. Amen. He's become my salvation. He can be a provider. He can be a way maker. He can be a healer. He can be my banner. But Jesus said, I'm going to reveal unto you the ultimate. I'm going to come unto you, and I'm going to be the Lamb. I'm going to be the spotless Lamb. And you're going to call my name Jesus, which means that Jehovah has become my salvation. Hallelujah. 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 Let me just say that Jesus in the Hebrew is just Jehoshua. And it was a common name that was known among the people. But it was not the name. It was not the salvific name. Amen. That Jesus, or that God, had given unto Mary. This was going to be different, because he is going to save his people from their sins. Amen. The book of Isaiah, the prophet declared and said, is there another Savior beside me? No, I know not any. And so it had to be known. And this little detail had to be known for many reasons. Because there would be wise men that would come looking, and they would find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Amen. They would find him, and they would leave, but they would know that this is, amen, the Messiah. And there were shepherds that would come in, and that would look, and they would see, and they would know, this is the Messiah. Amen. We know that as he began to grow, he separated himself just from every man. Not in a physical sense, but he began to do what no other man can do. It started there in Canaan when Mary approached him and said, they have run out of wine. And the Lord spoke unto Mary, and he said, what reason is this for me? What am I supposed to do about this? She turned. She had a revelation, because she had heard from an angel, and the angel had said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. She knew that he was different. She knew that he was not no ordinary child. And so she turned and she looked at them and she said, just do whatever he tells you to do. And he turned the water into wine. And the governor even said, wow, we've saved the best for last. But it didn't stop there. We would see that everywhere that he went, people were healed. People were raised from the dead. Amen. There were those that was lame, were brought up and were walking. There were those that was deaf, those that were blind. And then they were healed. They could see. They could hear. The Bible teaches us that he went apart upon a mountain, and they brought men unto him. You talk about an outreach program. Amen. It was very much, amen, doing everything that they could to get him in the presence of Jesus. Why? Because there's something that's different about him. I can't put my finger upon it, but there's something that is different about him. They carried him to the top of the mountain, and everyone. The Bible said that Jesus healed every one of them. Hallelujah. Amen. I could take the time and I could tell you, amen, that even the demons of hell knew exactly who that he was. In the book of Mark chapter number 1, when Jesus confronted the man that was possessed with the spirit, amen, the demons looked at him and they said, you've come to torment us before our time. But they said this, they said, we know who you are. We know who you are. I'm just an ordinary man. The devil said, no, you're not just an ordinary man. We know who you are. And Jesus said, hold your peace. Amen. When the Gadara, in Mark chapter number 5, when he ran up, the devils came running unto him, and they fell at his feet. Why? Because they knew who he was, and they cried out to him. Praise God. But let me just point a little something else out to you. Let me go back to these Jews that are stuck in their tradition, that are stuck in their rituals, that are stuck by their laws, that would rather not hear the voice of God. And let me show you that they refused to use his name. And when he confronted them, all that he said, amen, unto them, he said, I am, amen, he told them, he said, I am the I am. They recognized exactly who he was speaking about, and they sought to kill him. They sought to stone him. He used that word, the ego I me, when he said, I am the bread of life. I am the way. I am the door. I am the truth. I am the life. And the Jews hated him because of that. Why? Because he was breaking their law. Amen. He was doing things that they would not do. They wanted to hold and esteem that name. But God, manifest in the flesh, was saying, I'm here. I want you to use my name. I want you to cry out unto me. Oh, let's give the Lord some praise here today. Hallelujah. I feel the witness of the Spirit here today. I feel the presence of God coming into this place. I feel the Spirit of God as he comes down into this house, enticing us, drawing us, wanting us to reach out and to cry out unto him. Go ahead and take a few minutes and do that even now. John chapter number 3, we would see that a man by the name of Nicodemus, a studied man, a man that knows scripture, comes unto Jesus but refuses to recognize him for who he is, even though he knows that this man is different. But he looks at Jesus and he calls out unto him, Master, Master. Jesus looked at him, and if I can just paraphrase it here a little bit, he said, you still don't want to use my name, do you? You're still refusing to use my name, aren't you? Master, Master, Teacher, Rabbi, Adonai. But we're not going to use your name because that's contrary to law. That's against the law. Amen. And he looked at Jesus, wanting to ask him questions, but Jesus, perceiving what was coming, he told Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Let me just say that he was not telling Nicodemus that if you are not born again, that your eyes will never lay eye, never behold that city. He was not saying that you're going to be blind and that you cannot see. Amen. But I feel, and I look at the rich man in hell, that when he looked up and he saw Abraham, or saw, amen, the beggar in Abraham's bosom, he was still able to see. But Jesus wasn't telling Nicodemus that you're not going to be able to see in that sense. But he said it like this. Nicodemus, I'm saying unto you that except a man be born again, we ought to use the word converted. You've got to be converted. He said, except that you would be converted, except that you would be born again, you're not going to understand the kingdom of God. That word see means enlighten. It means revelation, revelatory. Amen. He said, Jesus answered his questions. He really didn't answer his questions, but he told Nicodemus this. He said, I understand you've got some questions. But let me just say that you're not going to understand my answers unless you're born again. As long as you're stuck in your tradition, as long as you're stuck in your little ways, you're not going to understand. As long as you refuse to come out, amen, of your religion, amen, into this new and living way, as long as you're comfortable living that life, because that's the way that grandma and grandpa and great grandma and great grandpa lived, you're not going to understand this new way. You're going to have to put all of that. You're going to have to put that thought, amen, if we don't say the name of God, because it's a reverence name. We don't say that. You're going to have to put all of that away, and you're going to have to be born again. Verily, verily, I say unto you that except a man be born again, he cannot understand the kingdom of God. You're not going to understand everything there is to understand. Some people say, I just don't understand that church. Let me just say, I was born and raised in the church, and there was a lot of things that I didn't understand about it until I got the Holy Ghost. And when I got the Holy Ghost, I began to understand a few more things. Amen. Some people say, well, when God gives me a conviction of it, then that's when I'll start doing it. Why don't you change that up and say, if it's in the Bible, you just need to be obedient whether you have a conviction or don't have a conviction. Say, well, I don't understand that. If it's in the Bible, just do it. Just be obedient. God will bring revelation. God will bring revelation through obedience. And that's what God was telling Jesus. Jesus was telling Nicodemus at this time. Nicodemus looked at him and he said, how can I be born again? Can I enter into my mother's womb again? He said, Nicodemus, I'm telling you that except a man be born again of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You can't see it. You can't enter it. You're not going to understand it, and you're definitely not going. You've got to be obedient to this. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to follow all of that. Amen. Let me move on with this. But we see that here is part of the Sanhedrin that refused to recognize him, refused to call him, refused to name him, refused to speak that name. And they just spoke unto him, Master. Others came unto him and said, Rabbi. And others came and said, Master. But Jesus, looking at the disciples, he looked and he spoke unto them and he said, I've got a question for you. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say that thou art Elias, and some say that thou art Jonas, and some say maybe one of the other prophets. And Jesus said, all right, but my question to you is, whom do you say that I am? And Peter stood up, and he declared it. He said, I'm going to tell you exactly who you are. He said, thou art the Christ. Well, Peter, you just blasphemed. Peter, you just broke the law. Amen. But he stood up and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath been revealed it unto you by my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that upon this rock I will build my church. Amen. Upon this revelation, upon this name, he is the chief cornerstone in whom the builders rejected. Amen. But he said, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You hear me this morning? I'm telling you, if you want power, you got to get back into the name. Amen. If you want healing, you got to get into the name. If you want anything in life that comes through spirituality, you got to get back into the name. Hallelujah. If we don't have the name, then we have absolutely nothing. I'm tired of a generation that refuses to cry out unto a name.
name. I refuse to be berated and beat into not crying out to that name. But give me, amen, give me a Bartimaeus that'll cry out and say, Jesus, just be quiet. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Hallelujah. Oh, if we lose that revelation, then there is nothing that matters in this apostolic church. When we lose that revelation, we have lost healing, because we're going to lay hands upon them. In the name of Jesus, we're going to declare healing. If we lose that revelation, our worship is going to become idolatry. If we lose that revelation, the new birth isn't going to work, because you've got to be baptized in the name, the only saving name of Jesus Christ. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, magnify the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to work on coming to a close here in just a few minutes, but give me just a few more minutes here today. Amen. We could see that everybody that cried out unto Jesus, we know that they were changed. Not only were they changed, but they were healed. They were made whole. They were saved. They had everything that they needed when they cried out unto Jesus. Who were the ones that was crying out to Jesus? The lame, the crippled, the ones that had issues and problems. They cried out unto Jesus. You know why? They were tired of the problems. They were tired of their circumstances. They were tired of their situation. They were tired of being dictated unto, amen, by their conditions of life. But when they heard, how did they hear? I'm going to tell you how they hear in new life. Somebody began to tell them. Somebody began to tell them. A woman with an issue of blood, she heard that Jesus was coming by. Bartimaeus sitting beside the gate, but when he heard the commotion, he said, what is this? And somebody said, Jesus is coming by. I want to know if I'm in a church that's still declaring, hey, there is a God, and his name is Jesus, and he can save you from your sins, deliver you from your problems, heal you of your disease. God is able. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Or have we become so sophisticated, and have we figured God out so much that we know what might please him and what doesn't please him? Have we become so mature in our Christianity, amen, that we refuse to get demonstrative, explosive? Amen. Is there any Bartimaeuses yet in the house? Are there any people, amen, with an issue of blood yet in the house? What about the man that sat beside the gate called Beautiful? Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Are you comfortable with where you are? Are you comfortable with your circumstance? Are you comfortable with your situations? Or are you tired of it? Are you tired of the devil beating you down, keeping you in bondage? I've got your answer here today, sir. I've got your answer here today, ma'am. Cry out to God. Lift up your voice. Cry out to Jesus and see if he will not come. He's as close as the mention of his name. Oh, let's stand and magnify the Lord today. Hallelujah. It's a lie of hell. You hear me today? It's a lie of hell that has gotten you to believe
that this is just your lot in life, that this is just all that you have to look forward to. It's a lie of hell, amen, that the Jews believed, that the Jews swallowed completely, amen, as they thought that they were doing a good deed and reverencing the name of God. Amen. God said, I'm not interested so much in your reverencing my name. I want you to speak my name. I want you to look at that mountain and say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be thou removed and cast into the sea. I'm not interested in you being pious and swaying with the beat and moving with the music. I want somebody that's sick of life where it is and ready to cry out unto the Lord. I want somebody, amen, that's interested in getting delivered. I want somebody that's interested in getting a healing to cry out unto me. How about it today? He's here. He's here. He's here. The same God that walked on the waters. The same God that split the Red Sea. The same God that rolled back the Jordan River. The same God that answered by fire. The same God that was preached unto the Gentiles at Cornelius' house. The same God that was preached by Paul. He's here in this place. His power is not diminished. His arm is not short. He's got an ear that can hear you. Cry out to him. Go ahead and cry out to him. If you want to be set free this morning, you can be set free. There's an altar here today that is made just for you. There is a name that is here, amen, for you, that we can pray with you. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal of the Lord that knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Preacher, I'm not good enough. Preacher, I'm too messed up. Preacher, I can't do it. That's a lie of hell. You can't do it. But when you do it, depart from iniquity. God help me. God help me. God deliver me. God set me free. God set me free today. God enlighten me. Bring enlightenment to me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, go ahead and worship the Lord here today.